Let's pray once more. Father, we do ask for your grace, ask for your help, ask for your kindness, Lord, that you would draw us into your presence, into the power and influence of your truth, Lord, that we may see things and understand things that you want us to see and understand. Lord, that we will be renewed and transformed, Lord, by your help. Open our eyes and, Lord, help us pour out your grace, your help, your kindness to us this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Two weeks ago, we started to talk about we talked briefly about the person of the Holy Spirit, and we started to talk about the work of the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And 2 weeks ago, we focused on two things. First, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work of regeneration, that is, He makes our Christian life, that is our life of faith, possible by jump-starting our Christian life, if you will, through giving us a new heart, new life. We were spiritually dead, but He gives us life. He gives us, we were spiritually blind, but He gives us spiritual sight, so that we could have new understanding. He gives us new desires, new taste for God. All this is to create in us faith. Holy Spirit is the one who creates in us faith, so that we start to live as the follower of Christ and people of God. Secondly, we talked about the fact that not only does the Holy Spirit start our Christian life, but He is also the one who makes it possible for us to continue in our Christian walk. He does this by coming and staying with us and helping us, enabling us as the helper in place of Jesus after He ascended into heaven, so that we could actually make progress and grow and persevere in our Christian walk and sanctification. Holy Spirit, as the one who created our faith, He also sustains our faith and makes our ongoing Christian life possible. Daniel, could you turn this up a little bit? Thanks. So that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. So this morning, we will continue our study and meditation on the work of the Holy Spirit. So there are two, well, we want to consider two questions this morning, but we may not get to the second one, so we'll see how that goes. The first question is we want to talk about what is the nature of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. By nature, I mean, what is the purpose? What is the goal of the Holy Spirit as our helper? What is He aiming to do when He's helping us? What is His mission? We have already answered this question somewhat, but I would like for us to go a little deeper in thinking about this question. So that's the first thing we're going to talk about. Second thing is, besides the work of regeneration, what does the Holy Spirit do in order to help us in our Christian walk? That is, what specific ways does He help us? There are two main categories, I would say, that He does to help us. And if we get to it, we'll focus on one of them today, and we'll cover the other one next time, God willing. And they are, he teaches us. Two categories are him teaching us, and then second category is him empowering us. So those are the two categories, two main categories of what Spirit does actually to help us. So, okay, so first question. What is the nature of the ministry of the Holy Spirit? What is his goal? What is his purpose? What's his mission in helping us? 2 weeks ago, we read a passage from John chapter 14 where Jesus, right before he was to leave his disciples and go to the cross and then to heaven after the resurrection, in chapter 14, he was instructing and encouraging his disciples right before he left them. We could imagine how difficult it must have been for the disciples to hear Jesus telling them that he is about to leave them. And I think I could think of three reasons why it's so hard for them. One is that they literally lived with Jesus for the most part, 24/7, for three and a half years. Jesus took them under his wing, and Jesus actually lived with them for three and a half years. So that by this time, they are attached to Jesus and they love Jesus. So that this Jesus they love, he's going to leave them after 3 years of intense relationship. So obviously, that's going to be hard for them. Because one, they spent three and a half years, 24/7 together. And secondly, because of that, because of who Jesus is, they are obviously attached and came to love Jesus. But the third reason is that if you read the Gospels, we find even at this point, after three and a half years of intense discipleship. I mean, talk about ideal discipleship, right? After three and a half years of intense discipleship, we see that disciples are clearly not ready to live this Christian life on their own. They are so dependent on Jesus. Jesus constantly provides for them and protects them and instructs them at every turn. We see that they're so not ready. They are so dull and clueless, and they're so lost. They don't know what they're doing, and they don't really understand clearly what Jesus' ministry is all about and his teaching is all about. They're not able to do much. And many times we see them being rebuked and corrected by Jesus. In other words, they still need to be taken care of by someone. They needed to be provided for and taught and guided and corrected and rebuked and trained. Therefore, in chapter 14, 16, Jesus says, this is what Jesus says to them, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Implying that Jesus was their helper, but now as he's leaving, he's going to ask the Father, and the Father will give them another helper, that he may be with you forever. And second part of verse 17, he abides with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. The clear implication is that the Spirit is the helper who is sent by the Father, because Jesus, who has been helping the disciple, is leaving them so that they are not left like orphans with no one to take care of them when they desperately need to be taken care of like orphans. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one who comes to do the same helping work, taking care of them, that kind of work that Jesus was doing for the disciples after Jesus leaves. This means that the Holy Spirit does the same work that Jesus would do if he were there with the disciples to continue discipling them, to help them to grow in their faith. Hence, the goal, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is the same as the goal of Jesus. Holy Spirit came to continue to carry on the same work that Jesus was doing for the same purpose as Jesus' purpose. And we see this in John 14:25-26 as well. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you." Jesus taught them a lot of stuff. Verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," meaning he's representing Jesus, that's what it means to come in Jesus' name, "he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I said to you." What is Jesus, Holy Spirit, going to teach them? All that Jesus already taught them. He's going to remind them what Jesus is. So here, the picture is that Spirit is not, "Okay, Jesus, thank you for your work, but let me tell you what I have to say," right? He's not doing that. He's coming, and he's going to teach you all of the important things, namely what Jesus has already taught them. He's going to teach them, instruct them, and bring to remembrance all that Jesus said to them. John 15:26, Jesus continues to say, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me." What is, in Jesus' summary of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what does he do? When Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. Let's go to our passage this morning, chapter 16, 7 through 15. Jesus says in verse 7, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Why? For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send them to you." So why is it to the disciples' advantage to have the Holy Spirit rather than Jesus? I think the context of the gospel and then book of Acts makes it clear, and then our own Christian experience, is that in the long run, Spirit can be with all of them at once. Whereas Jesus, bound by his physical body, can only be at one place at one time. Right, so as the disciples, they grow and they disperse preaching the gospel, it becomes very clear it is much to their advantage that Spirit comes. So that it's not just 12 people that Jesus is discipling, but it becomes countless thousands and tens of thousands and more, because the Helper, it's a Spirit who could be each and every one of the disciples as if Jesus himself was with them, with each of them. Verse 8, "And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." So we can't, I don't want to spend too much time in verse 8 through 11, but to summarize is this. When Jesus was with, on earth, doing his ministry, discipling his followers, The other thing that Jesus did is that Jesus, in his ministry, he convicted the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Right? That he would point out the sins of Pharisees and religious rulers. He convicted them of their sins and hypocrisy. And he showed them what true righteousness is, right? And he warned them about upcoming judgment that is already happening. And then the gospel was to call people to be delivered, rescued from this upcoming judgment through the mercy of God. So this is, in other words, when Holy Spirit comes, Holy Spirit is going to do the same work that Jesus was doing when he was doing his earthly ministry. Verse 12, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose to you. So this is very important. I think this is very central teachings on the nature and the nature of the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus clearly says that Spirit is not coming with his own agenda that is different from that of Jesus, right? He says he's not going to talk on his own initiative. He doesn't have his own agenda. He's not going to say, yeah, you know what, Jesus, that's great. But let me tell you what I have, you know. No, he says, whatever he hears, he will speak. This is very interesting because what Jesus said about his own ministry is that he doesn't speak on his initiative. He hears what the Father says, and he speaks what he hears. And then what Spirit does is the same thing. He speaks what Jesus says, and then he speaks to us what Jesus has said. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me. So focus of Spirit's ministry is Jesus. He wants to glorify, lift up, magnify, put spotlights on Jesus. For he will take of mine and will disclose to the disciples. So we see that the work of the Holy Spirit, in terms of its content and purpose, is not any different from the work of Jesus. I believe this truth is very instructive and helpful for us in correctly understanding the Holy Spirit and not misunderstanding the work of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because unfortunately, there are many, many people who misunderstand the work of the Holy Spirit. Typically, when I see misunderstanding of the work of the Holy Spirit, there are two reactions I get. One is that some people think the work of the Holy Spirit, they're very familiar with the work of and teachings of Jesus, the word of Jesus, right? But they find in the work of the Holy Spirit, or at least their perception of the work of the Spirit, is very foreign, it's different, and they kind of find it weird, right? So there are people like, whoa, 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 this is kind of not what I'm used to. I don't, you know. So I often get that response on one hand. On the other hand, what I see is that they say, you know, work of Jesus, you know, teachings of Jesus, the gospel, reading the Bible and trying to obey and trust, that's pretty ordinary. I mean, that's what we do. But the work of the Spirit is extraordinary, right? Jesus is good, but kind of common, when you're honest, kind of boring, I find it. But the Spirit is exciting and thrilling. And you know, it's like this is Jesus is sort of like decaffeinated. Holy Spirit, caffeinate, like Red Bull, right? It's like, if you really want oomph in your Christian, if you want really, you know, robust, like powerful, exciting, you know, joyful Christian life, then you got to go the Holy Spirit route, right? That's what I usually get. And I would say both of these approaches both misunderstand the Holy Spirit and Jesus. So what I mean is that if you think Jesus, Holy Spirit is somehow so different and weird and sort of foreign, then you don't understand the Holy Spirit. You don't really understand the work of the Spirit. If you think Holy Spirit is exciting and special and robust and all that, but if you Jesus find it kind of ordinary and mundane, then you don't understand Jesus. If you actually read the Gospels, Jesus did everything that Holy Spirit does. And Jesus, this is before the coming of the Holy Spirit in the way that we're talking about at Pentecost. Jesus sent out his disciples, 70 of them at once and more of them later on, and gave them power and authority to cast out demons and heal. They did that, right? So, if understood correctly, there is no, except for the scope and how Spirit can be with each one of us, whereas Jesus at the time could be only as a one person, mainly focused on 12 people. Aside from that, the ministry of Jesus is exactly the same as the ministry of Holy Spirit. The goal of Jesus was not to help people so that they would have good time and be entertained and build a better life for themselves in this world. He came to deliver people from the upcoming judgment of God and eternal hell and rescue them into the eternal kingdom of God. That was his goal and purpose. So in order to do that, he called people to turn from their sin and rebellious independence and apathy towards God and preached and taught them to humbly depend on God's mercy and seek to enter the kingdom of God by wholehearted and humble reliance on God and obedience to his will. In other words, Jesus's work, his goal was for his followers to live a life of faith, humble trust and dependence according to the word of God and the help of God, so that they would be able to live a life of love, humbly serving others, meeting the needs of others. So if you were to summarize, the heart of Jesus' ministry is to love God and love others. It's about faith and love by the power and grace of God. Spirit's ministry is exactly the same thing. He wants us from the turn from sin. He wants us to grow in faith and obedience and love so that we would escape the judgment of God but be enter into the kingdom of God as a people of God. Let me go over some applications. This is particularly important because, you know, Jesus warned many times, and the apostles warned the believer Christians many, many times that in the last days, which we're living in the last day, because last days between time period between Jesus and then his first coming and second coming. So we're living in the last days, right? In the last days, there will be many, many false teachers and false prophets coming to deceive people, deceive even the people who want to follow Jesus. And one of the main ways false teachers and false prophets, they do this is that they misrepresent the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And they, you know, Christian life is hard, right? And Christian life is difficult. And they entice people by claiming to have insight into the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit and saying, come and experience something new, something exciting, something powerful than old way of Jesus, the way of the Spirit. And they portray Jesus, following Jesus as old and stale and kind of boring. And we need to know that this is, when people put a wedge between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, this is one of the main ways that people deceive people, false teachers deceive people. We need to be aware of this. So that if someone presents a spirit like this differently than from the ministry of Jesus, then that is not correct. We need to stay away from these kinds of teachings and these kinds of ministries. Flee. You know, why do people get enticed? Because there's something attractive about these ministries and these teachings that appears, I would say a lot of times, it appears to our immaturities, because a lot of times we want a shortcut, we want a quick and easy way. So they offer something that's exciting and it seems to offer something that's quick and easy and right and new. But also, a lot of these false teachings appeal to our pride. You know, Jesus is so much about humility, right? If you want to be the greatest, you got to be the servants of all. In order to make it into the kingdom, you got to be like this humble child, right? But false teachers and come, they want to stroke your ego, and they want to puff you up, and they say, you could be great, you could have this power, right? And you could have this, they make you feel special through these teachings about the Spirit. It's attractive, but we need to know, there is only one truth. Jesus' ministry is not any different, Spirit's ministry is not different from the ministry of Jesus. We need to be aware. Jesus warns us to be awake and be vigilant. And we need to resist these false teachings. Second application is this. The Holy Spirit, like Jesus, is God who is with us. You know Jesus, one of Jesus' name when he was... He was being born. The name was given by the biblical writer is that Jesus is called Emmanuel because he's God with us. And for these followers of Jesus, the disciples, that was literally true, right? Jesus was with them 24/7. And I used to envy the disciples a lot, right? Someone once asked me, like, if you could be anyone in the Bible, among one of the Bible characters, who would you be? You know, I said, I want to be Apostle John, because, you know, not only my name is John, but, like, I get to be with Jesus. Like, I get up in the morning, I turn, he's right there, right? I'm walking, I'm having a hard time, Jesus, help me, boom. When I'm tired, Jesus is bosom, you know, it's like, oh. You know, we see that picture in the Last Supper, right? I used to do that, right? Jesus was literally with them, right there, to help them, to take care of them. Another way, this is another way, like, Jesus literally, like, to the disciples, I got your back. You know, I love these stories, like, Jesus intentionally brings them into the boat during and then storm happens, like, and Jesus, like, I'm here. Like, why are you guys worried? I got your back. Don't you understand that I take care of you? You just saw me feeding 5,000. Oh, ye of little faith. Right? Jesus led them. Like, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know what they were supposed to do. Jesus, step by step, led them and guided them. In other words, disciple, you know, just, I mean, I'm not picking on the disciples, because I'm just like them, if not worse, right? But, you know, they're like disasters waiting to happen on their own. They just, when we see them, they just make me nervous, right? What are they going to do now, right? Like me, right? But we know that in the God, they were okay. We know they were going to be okay because they were with Jesus, or Jesus was with them. In other words, they were in good hands. Peter and James and John and all of them, they were going to be fine. They were going to be great because they were in good hands. In the same way, Spirit is God with us to each and every one of us. I know it takes a little bit of more faith and growth to realize, because he's not physically here, but that's exactly what it means for Jesus to refer to the Holy Spirit as another helper. He is more advantageous for us to have Spirit because he is just like Jesus, who was with them and taking care of them, watching their back. Holy Spirit is God who is with us and providing, I love this, comprehensive care. Like when I was really young, I felt so safe when my parents, especially my mom, was around, because, you know, she was home and she was with me all the time. I just felt nothing can hurt me. I felt like my mom could do anything, right? And I felt so well taken care of. And it's comprehensive care, right? It's, if I need this, she could get me this. If I'm hungry, she knows how to cook. Whoa. You know, she knows how to pay the electricity bills. You know, she knows how to help me with my homework when I was in grade school, right? Like, that's the Holy Spirit. He is here, and he is giving us comprehensive care. And out of all the things that Spirit does, one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, is this. Just like Jesus made God real to the disciples. Remember Philip? Because, you know, he was dull. Philip says, Jesus, show me the Father, then I'll believe. And Jesus is like, what do you mean? If you see me, you see the Father. And later on, Apostle John gets it, and he says, we've seen the Father. We've seen the glory of the Father. We get it. We right? Jesus brought the presence of God into the lives of the disciples, and he revealed the beauty and the glory of God to the disciples, as the Apostle John testifies in his first letter of John. In other words, Jesus makes God real to, he made God real to his disciples. The person of God, not just theoretical, conceptual, but the person of God, real God, that we can experience. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us, exactly what he does for us. You know, this is actually part of a Knowing God sermon series that we began in the fall. And one of the things I said is that it's not enough for us to live a Christian life. It's not enough for us just to know about God theoretically, abstractly, conceptually, just having a lot of information about God. But what we need desperately is really know God, to meet God and experience God and to love God and enjoy the presence of God. And come into an actual relationship with God. Holy Spirit is the one who makes this possible. He's the one who does this as the God, third person of the God himself. So I always say that we can meet God. We can encounter God. We can experience the presence and the glory of God. We can behold the beauty. Here's the thing. When I say beauty of God, glory of God, the majesty of God, the awesomeness of God, I know for some of you, these are just words. These are very Christian-y words, right? But what happens, what Holy Spirit does is that He opens our eyes and He does something to us, in us, so that they stop being just mere words to us, but we start to taste and see and experience the joy and pleasure and delight of God. When I first experienced, I was very surprised because I didn't think God would be like this. But He, kind of a joy and delight that I have never experienced from anyone or anything else. So Holy Spirit is the one who brings about, He makes God real to us. And as we grow and as we cultivate our relationship with God, we get to experience what Apostle John calls fellowship with God, communion with God. God is so real. The person of God is so real through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we could say we have real, we say, Christianity is not religion, it's relationship. It's true. What Bible calls the fellowship or the communion with God. Now, for young Christians, this is hard because it takes time. It's real, it's possible, but it needs to be cultivated. Right? A lot of times, sometimes God gives us glimpse of this here and there. Right? But those are just samples. We need to, in our daily Christian life, that needs to be cultivated. We need to invest time and effort and energy in cultivating this. And this is the most wonderful thing and worthwhile thing that we could invest our time and energy. So that's why Holy Spirit, as the one who is with us, this is one of those things that Spirit does for us. The last application about this general picture of ministry of the Holy Spirit is this. Holy Spirit, like I said, is the one who makes God real to us, but it does not mean that He gives us a shortcut, that He will speed things up. So misunderstanding is this. If you just have Jesus, if you read the Bible, you believe the Bible, you just have Jesus, then Christian life is going to, the growing in Christian life is going to be really slow, right? And it's going to be really hard. But when you have the Holy Spirit, He's going to speed things up for you. You're going to be on the fast track. It's like turbocharged, right? That's not true. What is this? Without the Holy Spirit, becoming a Christian and growing as a Christian is impossible. God will not be real to you at all without the Holy Spirit. So what Holy Spirit does, that Holy Spirit makes God real. He makes Christianity possible, faith possible in your life. But that doesn't mean that just because you're filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean that things are going to speed up. And this is a lot of misconception people have. And I know this because I used to have a lot of these, right? And what the reason why this is important, because if you have you experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then you expect that now, I got it. Everything's set. I'm just going to, move over, Pastor John. I'm going to preach next week, right? I'm set. I'm just like, right? And you're going to be so disappointed. You're just going to crash and burn because you're going to be so disappointed because you're going to have unbiblical expectation. Even with the Holy Spirit, Christian life is going to be lifelong, slow, progressive growth. But it's going to be real. And it's going to be possible. The other misunderstanding about Holy Spirit is that, you know, without the Holy Spirit, your Christian life is going to be filled with hardships and difficulties, and, you know, it's going to be so hard. But when the Spirit comes, it's going to be so easy. Like, yeah, I could do quiet time while I'm sleeping, you know. Just like, it's going to be so easy. No. You could be filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's going to be hard many times. Right? Read the experience of Paul. Right? I mean, if anyone was filled with the Spirit, Paul's right there, up there, right? He's so filled with the Spirit. One time, someone said he'd send his handkerchief, and the person got healed. I talk about being filled with the Spirit, right? But if you look at his life was filled with hardships. He had to be patient. Even though he was so filled with the Spirit, he asked God to remove the thorn 3 times. God said, no. My grace is sufficient. You continue to suffer and endure in the midst of suffering. Right? So don't think if you're filled with the Spirit, your Christian life is going to be easy. Nothing changes. Just, you know, we've been saying in Jesus, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be progressive. It's going to be, you know, a lifelong thing. It's not going to be easy or pleasant, but it's going to be real. And it's possible. We're at that point where we're not going to start my next point. Right. So we're going to close here, but let me close with this. Everything, every good things that you see and you were taught and you have experienced in Jesus is what Spirit is going to do in your life. It's not any different. Right? I know what I want to say. So, don't put a wedge between Jesus and the Spirit. I mean, they're part of the Trinity. They're one. There's one. We believe in one God, right? So don't treat Spirit as someone who's different. But He is the one who's bringing the exact ministry and the work of the Spirit, and He's going to be with you and help you and enrich your life with every blessings and every promises that is in Jesus. Right? So, this is awesome, right? To say I love Jesus is to say I love the Holy Spirit. To say I love the work of the Spirit, that means I love the work of Jesus. So much so that Bible calls Holy Spirit one of the names or the titles of Spirit is that Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. Jesus, His person and His presence come into our life through the Holy Spirit, right? So you don't have, thank God, you don't have to choose. You know, like my professor said, I'm a maximalist. I don't want either. I want everything, right? I want Jesus. I want the Holy Spirit. I want the fullness of Jesus, and I want the fullness of the Spirit, because they're the same, one in the same. Just as we don't have to choose between the Father and Jesus, right? If you love Jesus, I think some people make this false dichotomy between Jesus and the Father, right? Jesus says, if you want to know the Father, know me. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Put a wedge between the person and the work of the Father and the person and the work of Jesus is just as ridiculous and nonsensical as putting the wedge between the Spirit and Jesus. God, in His fullness and His mercy, all three persons of Trinity, and comes to us. And they come with their truth, and their presence and their blessings and their grace and mercy. So let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. We need His help, the help of the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, so much. We cannot be sustained. Our faith cannot be sustained one day, one moment, apart from His work, sustaining work of our faith, His ministry of teaching and guiding us in the truth, His comforting and encouraging and empowering work. We need so much of God. We need so much of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let's go to Him humbly. Let's go to Him earnestly and sincerely. Let's cry out to the Lord. Let's pray.